Happy to stand before you today again to try to bring to you a lesson from God's Word. Mike called me and said he was having some trouble with his throat and voice and sinus drainage and wanted to know if I would fill in for him. And you know, it's hard to say no to our elders when we think about how much they do for us. And we have so much to be thankful for that we have men like Mike and Travis that I don't think any of us have a clue to how much time that they spend in doing the work of the Lord and leading this congregation and making sure that the truth is taught, and they have a great responsibility, and I hope that all of us appreciate them to the fullest. As you know, I don't use the PowerPoint. I was kind of amused one time. I heard an old preacher said that, he said, I don't use the PowerPoint. He said, I've got the power right here, and I'll make the point. So I guess that's kind of the way I am with the PowerPoint. I have nothing against it, but I don't have a clue how to use it. I thought I had a lesson prepared when Mike called me Friday, I believe it was, and but I decided to prepare another lesson. I'd been thinking about this for quite some time, and so I had a lot of it on my mind, and I just worked on it Friday evening and then again yesterday and then some this morning, so hopefully I'm prepared enough to be able to present it. I think it's a wonderful lesson. Dave led us in this song, Walking in Sunlight. So as we think about this, I hope that you were listening carefully to the words of this song, because they're very important in connection with our lesson. The first chapter of Luke is a beautiful chapter, and we find that as we look at this chapter, that it has a lot contained in it. It's quite a lengthy chapter. There's 80 verses in it. But when we consider this, I want to draw your attention to what Zacharias stated when his son was born. In Luke chapter 1, verses 76 through 79. Luke 1, 76 through 79. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. These inspired words that were spoken here by Zacharias as he spoke concerning the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we read these, we find that it contains here a contrasting pictures. One is a place of gloom. to place of gloom and darkness, referred to here as the shadow of death. And this is a darkness that sometimes we don't really focus enough on. It's a darkness that is a terrible darkness. It's a darkness that is what we might refer to as a midnight darkness, when the moon isn't shining, of a winter season, when it's cold and it's clammy and it's dreadful. And we are out in that kind of darkness and we're lost. With such a darkness, we can understand this physically, but when it comes to a spiritual application of this, this kind of darkness we associate with ignorance, with danger, with despair, and death. There's danger all around us. Probably most of us have been in physical darkness and been lost at some time in their lives. I know I have. And it's a terrifying experience. But to think about living your whole life like this, in this kind of darkness and despair. And this represents the condition of mankind before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to this earth. There was nothing. There was no hope. And they were in darkness. The other picture, I said, we see a contrast here in these words that Zechariah spoke. The other picture is one of cheerfulness, because he speaks here of a day spring that comes from on high, and it shall visit us. This day spring that comes from on high, and it shall visit us. Now we see a contrast here when we think of this darkness that we've been talking about, and then we think of this day spring. The day spring is a spring of day. Just turn it around. It's a spring of day. And we've all seen it physically, and we've all just marveled at it sometimes. The first appearance of the day, it's the dawn of the early morning. You may look out and it's just so dark, and just a few minutes later, you might look out and you see a little bit of light on the horizon there. And you stand there and you watch it, and it continues to get lighter. It's the spring of day, the first appearance of the day, the dawn of the early morning hours. That's what a day spring is. Now, we can appreciate this and understand it and just marvel, as I said, at these things when we look at them physically. But now think of Jesus. And that's what the prophet here is talking about, as we're going to see when we look at some other passages of Scripture. The coming of Christ is spoken of as the day spring of mankind. Let's go back to Malachi. The last book in the Old Testament Scriptures, the last chapter. Here in Malachi chapter 4 and in verse 2, we read, "But unto you," this prophet writes, "but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." the Son of Righteousness, not S-O-N, but S-U-N, sunshine of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Now, there's great significance in that. We turn on over here just a couple of pages, and we're in Matthew. And in chapter 4 and in verse 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. In John, the account of the gospel, I draw your attention to John chapter 1 and in verse 9. John writes, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This is the true light that he's speaking of here, the day spring. In John chapter 8, turn over just a few pages, John chapter 8 and in verse 12. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then back in further to the last book, the last chapter of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we turn over to Revelation chapter 22, and we find here in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. That's our introduction. Now we're going to look at some discussion on these things. Perhaps become able to appreciate more what we have just noticed. The first question that we want to ask is, from whence did he come? And again, we go back to our text here in Luke chapter 1, and we find here that in the 76th verse, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. He came from the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now, just think for a moment, what's the highest form that you have ever heard of? And you will have to come to the conclusion it's God. And this is where the day spring come from God, the highest. In Luke 1, earlier in this same chapter, in verses 30 through 33, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Where did he come from? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that's where he came from. The next question we want to ask was, how did he come? Now, this is an important question, and you might right off the top of your head think, well, I know the answer to that, but do we? Just how did he come? Maybe the answer that you're thinking of is different than the answer that I'm going to give you. But first of all, I want you to notice to you how he did not come. Now, that this doesn't mean that he didn't always come in this way. There were different ways that Jesus came. But when he is coming as the day sprang, we want to notice how he did not come. He did not come in a flash of glory that would blind tender eyes to look upon, as he later appeared to John on Patmos. If you remember in the book of Revelation, we referred back there a few moments ago. Revelation chapter 1. Begin reading here with the 12th verse. And I turned, John says, and I turned, and the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass as they burned in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had on his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. That's what John saw, and it terrified him. He fell to his feet as though dead. He burst on the scene. It happened to Saul of Tarsus, which he was on the road to Damascus that we read about in Acts chapter 9. At noonday, the brightness of the sun, there was a great light. Can you imagine a light brighter than the sun? This one was. And he burst on the scene, and Saul fell to the ground as though dead. No doubt terrified. Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But that's not the way Jesus came. Although at times he did, that's not the way he came here that we're talking about this morning. So let's notice how he did come. He came into the world, like we said, as the day sprang. Now, the day sprang just simply means the sun rising, the dawn. All of us have seen it, admired it, marveled by it, as we stated a little while ago. But when this day spring comes forth, just like when we see this sun physically coming up over the horizon, we stand there, what can we do? Well, we have to admire how tenderly it's coming up. We have to admire how gradual it is. It's just, sometimes you just see a little bit of it, and a little more, and then maybe half of it. Very slowly it's coming up. And you know what can happen? We can look at it. The tenderest eyes can look at this sunrise. It doesn't blind them. Now, you wouldn't want to do that in its strength, but the tenderest eyes can look at it. Very gently, very beautiful to look at. Tenderly, gradually. Jesus first appeared in prophecy. Now we can understand this, what I've been talking about, but let's think about Jesus, who is the day spring, the Son of Righteousness. Did he just burst on the scene? No. He came first in prophecy. Clear back to the Old Testament scriptures in the book of Genesis. We find way back there that God told Satan, this seed of woman, you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. That was a prophecy of Jesus. And when we look through the Old Testament, we see these prophecies time and time and time again. We see these types, and then see Jesus the antitype. Brother Jeff talked quite a bit about this in a lesson. And Brother Darrell's been pointing these things out on Wednesday evening. It's been a very interesting study here in the Old Testament, and these lessons that can be brought out from this. And this is one of those this morning. When we think about it, he appeared first of all in prophecy, very gently. These prophets, they were just giving piecemeals what was to happen. They wanted to look into these things. They wondered about these things. They lived their lives and died and never saw the fulfillment of these prophecies. And then finally, he was born. A little baby. Not in a royal palace, but in a barn and laid in a manger by a very humble couple, Mary and Joseph. Mary with his mother. Just a tiny little baby, very gentle. Don't hear anything about him till he's about 12 years old. Very gently, he continues to come, just like the rising of the sun. We find at 12 years old, he was found in the temple. A good-sized boy, questioning these people in the temple, these important men. They were astonished at him. And we don't hear much more about him. He went back home. He became a carpenter in his father's shop, just gently rising. And then he was baptized. But after his baptism, he probably never traveled more than 100 miles from his home. But he went forth and he taught. Some were interested, some were not, but he taught them the truth. He chose his 12 apostles. And then he died. And he went back to the Father. He rose, he ascended, and he went back to the Father. And we see his life from the beginning to the end here on this earth, very gently unfolding. But then something happened. Before he left and went back to the Father, he sent his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And it was during that time, over the next several years, probably 30-some years, the gospel was written. It was preached to every creature under heaven. The full glory of the gospel, when it was taken to all the world, that's what you see now, the sun in its brightness and in its full glory, not bursting on the scene all at once, but just like the day spring, and that sun goes across the sky and it sets. What a beautiful analogy. But why did he come? Another very important question, the last one that we want to consider. He came to give light. In John chapter 1, in verses 4 and 5, John writes, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." The King James Version, I might point out here, says, "comprehended it not." I think the New King James says, "apprehended it not." But there is one translation that I really like the way that it gives this. I always had trouble with that. What's it mean, the darkness comprehended it not, or even apprehended it not? But when you read the English Standard Version, which is a very good literal translation, probably the most literal, it says here, the darkness could not overcome it. The darkness could not overcome the light that Jesus brought forth. So this is a very important statement. To enlighten mankind, to enlighten mankind's life, means to correct error, to reveal truth. You remember the prayer of Jesus in John 17, 17? He said, "Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus is the word. And John tells us in John chapter 1, the word became flesh and dwelt among men, dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. Until Jesus came, man had lived previously in what was known in the starlight age, or the patriarchal dispensation of time, when the light was dim. Few prophecies, but the light was dim. And then later the law of Moses came, and there were a lot of things revealed through that law of Moses about this coming Messiah that they didn't know under the patriarchal dispensation. And so it's referred to as the moonlight age. It's a little lighter. But when Jesus came, he ushered in what we now live in, the sunlight age, the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's what Paul referred to. The day of salvation in which we live. This age, we think about the sun when we look at this analogy. What does the sun do when it comes up? When you're outside, you're shaking, you're cold. Before daylight, have a deer hunter back there. What happens when the sun comes up? It starts to get warmer, doesn't it? All of us know that. We get out. All of us have been out early in the morning, but especially deer hunters know this. They want to be in that tree stand, but still they begin to feel that warmth of the sun. We think of this in connection with Jesus, when the day spring arises, what happens? We begin to feel his warmth. When he starts coming into our life, we begin to feel the warmth of his love to cold hearts, the hearts that have been terrified and in darkness in winter time, as we mentioned a little while ago, without knowledge. But whenever we begin to learn about Jesus, whether we're children and our parents begin to teach us, when they bring us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, then we come to understand this warmth. We come to understand this warmth when we assemble together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we know that these are people that love us. And we know that when we meet them on the street or we meet them in a grocery store or any place else, there's a difference, isn't there? There's a difference. If I meet Jeff and Patty in a grocery store, do you think it feels like when I come up and talk to them, it's just someone off the street? We're to love everybody, but there's a camaraderie, there's a warmth, because you know that they love you and you love them. And that love that they have reflects Jesus' love. It's the age of warmth. In 1 John chapter 4, we might look at that. First John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Is that the kind of love that we have towards one another? The sunlight age. What else does sunlight do? It not only gives warmth, but it gives life. You go out there and plant something in the ground and watch how much it grows in the dark. If it's always dark, it won't grow. It's got to have that sunlight. That sunlight. You know, we look at nature, and nature is actually able to throb with life due to the sun. It's just amazing how things just come alive when we watch the flowers and everything else as the dew clears off and the sun comes out, and it's warming. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's spread, the life springs forth when we look at it in the spiritual standpoint. This light of the glorious gospel. He has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Life. Everything we need to know how to live our physical lives upon this earth, godliness, everything we need to know about how to serve God acceptably. We need light so we can be able to see. Helps us rather than stumble around out there in the darkness. I've tried that before. Doesn't work very good. Better to have a little flashlight or something. You need some light. And we think about this from the spiritual standpoint. The light is what guides our feet in the way of peace. David wrote, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Your word. The way of peace. This is the way that we refer to as the straight and narrow way. Matthew 7, 13, 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Why? Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It leads to life. It's litten. It's lighted by the Word of God. It's a street of gold. It's the upward way. You continue to press on it. Like Paul said, not that as though I had already attained, but I press on. Since the day spring has come and the day has dawned, we are able to walk in the light. Thank God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Do we appreciate Him? Do we care? This lesson has not only been designed to strengthen Christians and encourage you to continue to press on and realize what you have. Realize what you have as you live your lives for God. And just think about all of these good things. If you took all of those away, where you would be. Without hope, hopeless. Without Christ, Christless, nothing. Nothing to look forward to. But it was not only designed for those who are Christians to strengthen and build them up, but I want to, as I close, just read a passage back here in Revelation chapter 22 in verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So that's my lesson. And if you're here and your heart is not right with God, let Jesus come into it. See what He can do with your life. You may look at people that have been here many times before and think, well, don't people get bored with this? No. No. As the old song says, I love to tell the story, which I suppose is my favorite song. The last verse, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Won't you get your life right with God? Keep pressing on if you're a Christian. If you're not, begin. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait until the sun goes down. Do it today. Well, you have the time and the opportunity. I'd like you to come all together and stand and sing.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed.